My name is Daniel, and I'm with Christian Leps, and he is currently in New York right now. He is a student of the Bible. We actually see him walking as he's getting exercise. But I was just in a meeting the other day and realized that he has been the tool of the Lord to not only study and come to an understanding that he has had, but also been able to share with others. And so I asked Brother Christian, like, would you be willing to take an interview with me? And he said, sure. So we set up a time, and here he is. So, Brother Christian, tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe some background, where you're at right now, like Upper New York, Lower New York, and maybe a little bit about your family.
Sure thing, Brother Daniel. So, hi, everyone. As Pastor Mesa said, my name is Christian Kleps. I was born in Los Angeles. I grew up in Clearwater, Florida, and my family moved to New York in 2010 and then to Penfield in 2011. So, where I'm at right now is basically next to Rochester, which is essentially central New York. And as for my family, I was raised a Christian all my life. My mother and grandma, they were Catholic before I was born, but then they left the Catholic Church, and ever since then we've been essentially non-denominational. But I was always raised to be a Trinitarian and Sunday keeper until God put it in my heart to actually study what His Word actually says.
Now, you had said that you had started studying in the year 2016, is that right?
That's correct.
So 2016, when you started studying the Bible for yourself, you said you were in law school, and you came to an understanding that you needed to read and study the stuff that you felt like you understood. Maybe you can give us a little bit of that history real quick.
Sure. So it all happened my first year of law school. There's this one case that really spoke to me. It was all about how a Seventh-day Adventist was fighting for his right to not work on the Sabbath and not to be discriminated in his employment with regard to that fact. And it was fascinating to me because up until that point, I had never heard of Seventh-day Adventism. I had always been taught that Sunday keeping was, it was the Lord's Day and everything. So during the summer, after my first year of law school, I decided to research this and pray about it for myself. And God directed me to an online ministry called endtimesprophecy.org.
In 2016, God used the online ministry endtimesprophecy.org to teach me the truth about him and his son and about the Sabbath. And ever since 2017, the leader of that ministry, Mark, has been very kind and generous enough to let me be involved in that ministry. So I've been involved in online witnessing through making Facebook posts for their Facebook page and for making web pages for their website. It has been truly a blessing to serve God and his son Jesus Christ in this manner, and I'm continuing to do so.
And it had information about everything about the Sabbath, about the Godhead, who God is and who His Son Jesus Christ is. And I wrestled with it for it must have been a week. I was constantly praying about it. My goal was to try to prove Sunday and the Trinity true, and using all the critical thinking I had been taught in law school. And I couldn't. There was no biblical support. I had to make assumptions in order for any of it to make sense. So I decided to pray, God, this is your word, not mine. Please lead me to where you want me to go in keeping your word and following your son, Jesus Christ. And he opened my eyes.
Amen. So now you could say with clarity in your mind, having studied with the lawyer's mind, you could say the Bible teaches that the seventh day is the Sabbath. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And that would be our Saturday today, not Sunday. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So now tell us about also the God that you found compared to the Trinity you were trying to find in the Bible.
Sure. So, I mean, for all my life, the most common text for the God of the Bible would be quite funny enough, texts don't even have the word God in it, like Matthew 28:19, 1 John 5:7. So being a law student, I wanted something that actually said who the one God the Bible is. So that leads me to verses like 1 Corinthians 8:6, John 17:3, that actually says, there is but one God the Father, the only true God. And throughout these verses, it's not all just about the Father. It also shows that almost every single time, Jesus Christ is the only one equal with the Father, being his only begotten Son.
Amen.
So that's actually, there were two main aspects that led me to change my belief and form a biblical belief of God and his son. The first was the exclusive usage of the Father and the Son in dozens and dozens of verses throughout the Bible, if not hundreds.
Yeah.
And then the other one is the book of Revelation.
Amen. Now, you know, Revelation is one of my favorite books, and that was actually part of what taught me about God and what God wasn't. In fact, I used to believe, because I'm a very visual person, so I would see like the Trinity pictures where there's one face here, and another face there, right? Mm-hmm. And so I expected, of course, because of the verses you referred to, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, I was more a tritheist rather than a Trinitarian. And in my tritheistic understanding, I believed that the Holy Spirit had a throne. But when I went through the book of Revelation verse by verse, I realized that's not true. And so it was quite mind-boggling to me. Now, you had done some study while I think you said you were in school, and you had put together a PowerPoint presentation. Tell us about that.
It's a very comprehensive one. It's a 190-page PowerPoint about the Godhead, including Bible verses and Spirit of Prophecy passages. And I didn't compile it myself. Robert Miskimen, his nickname is Bobby. Bobby Miskimen and I made that PowerPoint, and we presented it to Lockport Church at Buffalo. And that's actually where we, that was the first time that we presented the truth to Rick and Gonzalez.
Yeah, so Rick was actually telling me that you had shared with him some thoughts about your study, and it actually convicted him. And then he then went ahead and learned, I guess, along with some others, and they started taking it to the church and started studying it. And now all of a sudden there's a big blow up over there. Maybe you know some more of that history you can tell us about.
Well, Rick told me it took him a couple of months actually after the presentation for him to process everything and to undo everything that he had learned regarding the Trinity doctrine. And Bobby and I, we would go from like church to church and just like share what we know in Sabbath school. And so it didn't start like immediately, but the truth just kept growing. More and more people in our Bible group, like Sonia and friends of Rick, like Gilbert, they came to know the truth and they began sharing it. And let me just tell you, the Trinitarians at the Seventh-day Adventist churches, they just reacted very hostily. Yeah. And which seems to be the case around the world, not just here in New York.
That's the truth. So now, when you were studying and you shared with the church, you said you presented it to the Lockport Church, was there anybody who came and said, wow, this is true, we want to learn more? Or was everybody kind of standing back a little bit like Rick was?
It's, there were actually two, most of the people took time to like process it and didn't quite know what to think of it at first. There were two people who came up to us, and Rick actually was one of them. Even though he said he needed time to process it over months, he told us that we should write a book on the subject. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that ironically, he's the one who ended up writing a book before me.
Yeah. And I understand.
I believe you helped him with that book.
I did. Well, my mother and I both, we looked at that book, and I was critical on some specific parts of it, because when he presented it to me, I wanted to know exactly what he was saying about the Spirit, because I'd been learning some more about the Spirit. And so, my mother read through it. I read through it. We were able to critique him a little bit, and sounds like he was thankful for what we had to suggest. But now, he took that book and he distributed it recently to the Lockport Church. Isn't that right? There in Lockport?
Yes.
Now, were you one that received that book as well? Are you a member there, or you just were visiting at the time?
So I would visit a lot of churches. Lockport was one I visited frequently. Now, I believe many people can relate to what I'm going to say here, is that although I really wanted to become a member of one of these churches, I couldn't bring myself to do it, because the way you have to become a member now in a general conference Seventh-day Adventist church is to say that you believe their current fundamental beliefs. And I can never bring myself to believe the Trinity doctrine.
Amen.
So no, I wasn't a member.
Okay. Now I just want to talk to the people listening for a minute, because maybe they don't know. The Seventh-day Adventist Church for many years while they were coming up into existence in the 1840s and onward. For about 50 to 60 years, they held a very strong unity in the truth about God, his son, and the ministration of the Spirit. But then after the 1915 experience of Sister Ellen White dying, and then the 1919 conferences, and Leroy Froom coming in with a book called The Coming of the Comforter, and later, you know, the questions on doctrine and the whole idea in Australia about Desmond Ford, you have that whole history that actually changed the church from the ground up. Now, what I mean from the ground up is you have a foundation of Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. Well, if you change Jesus Christ and you make him into something who he's not, you don't any longer have the same foundation. You don't have the same cornerstone. And so since 1980, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has actually chosen full sail at a meeting in Dallas, Texas. It was at the General Conference is what they call it. They chose to have another God. They actually chose at that time to have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. You can read their doctrines online. Just go to Adventist.org and you'll be able to find what they believe. Read the first five doctrines and you'll realize that what they are is, instead of Trinitarian, they're more tritheist. They believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three co-eternal beings. And they do say it's in one, so they are trying to be Trinitarian, but they're not really. Anyways, that's some of the history that we all know. And here, Christian, you, as you know, going to school with a lawyer's mind, you are not able to put these things together and say, yes, I want to be a member. And there's a lot of people that are getting reactions against the Seventh-day Adventist corporate church worldwide. You had mentioned some of that. Maybe you know some of what's happened in the local area there in New York. Do you have any of the history of what's happening with local people?
It's been quite frantic. It's been a huge mess. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to been there in person with Rick and some of my friends while they've been like fighting the good fight, as it were. But I have seen on occasion church leaders receiving instructions on dealing with this, what they call anti-Trinitarian problem. They label it as a problem. And they want to suppress any questions people ask during Sabbath school, cease any dialogue, and they ask people up front to comply with the fundamental beliefs, which comes across like very Catholic, you know, like we should comply with the Bible.
Amen.
Not with what man's doctrines tell you to believe.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So perhaps you don't know exactly what's going on, but maybe I can get Rick to do a follow-up, because I know that you helped him understand some of the truth about God, which actually got him, you could say, into trouble with the church. And me, you know, I got into trouble as well. I just started sharing about who God is and his son, and I ended up getting kicked out of the Seventh-day Adventist church, not because I've been unfaithful to God or my wife or my children, or that I've, you know, gone into debauchery or, you know, any kind of those kind of things. I'm not that kind of person. The Lord has changed my life. But because I shared about the Father and his son, I've actually been kicked out. And so to my understanding, Rick, somebody that you taught recently, is getting kicked out quite soon, in fact, because of his willingness to share what he's learned. Do you know others in that area that have been perhaps dismembered as a result of knowing who the Father and the Son are?
Unfortunately, no. I moved back from Buffalo 2 years ago, so I haven't been able to stay in personal contact with them. So I think that your idea of following up with Rick would be a great idea if you want that kind of personal testimony and experience as to what's going on in New York. Something that just comes to my mind, and I apologize if this is tangential, but I hear a lot of people still refer to the General Conference as the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And it's my personal opinion that this confuses people, because their spirit of prophecy requires us to stay on the ship, you know, don't depart from it. But the real ship, the real Seventh-day Adventist Church, are those who stay with the original fundamental beliefs, you know, what Christ gave to Philadelphia, not what Laodicea wants us to believe. Uh-huh. Regarding God and his son and the ministration of their spirit.
Yeah, amen. I stand corrected if I had said that. Now, so in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, you read about the Laodicean church. Do you know, just real quick, what the problem with that church is compared to the other six? I mean, what does that message of Laodicea say?
Well, the Laodiceans, they think they're rich. In fact, they don't know that they're poor. They don't have they don't have the real Spirit, the real Holy Spirit, because Christ is not dwelling in their hearts. They've accepted God, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in their hearts instead, and that's the huge problem. They don't realize that Christ opened a door for Philadelphia. It's our pioneers who have all the knowledge that we need to stand upon, and it's our pioneers who accepted that Christ needs to be our comforter and come in through his Holy Spirit, not someone else instead of him.
Yeah. So really visually in Revelation chapter 3, you have Christ standing outside the door and he's knocking. Whereas all the other churches, you don't learn about Christ being outside of the church. You see him in there in the midst trying to work with the church. But Laodicea hasn't accepted the Spirit of Christ. So it's a real big problem. And I love people that want to know the truth. And so that's why we put these videos together. That's why we try to share, is so that they will be able to get a clue of the fact that, whoa, there's something wrong here. Maybe I should check this out. It's not to spank or slap or bludgeon people. It's because we care. That's why we're sharing these things. Now, do you have a word for those who might be watching that perhaps have never heard of anything like this before? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say to them that many Trinitarians think that, they honestly think that the Trinity doctrine is the only way to honor Christ. And I would say that the opposite is true, because the Trinity doctrine takes Christ away from being your comforter. Amen. And it takes away from Christ his divine status as the only being in the universe equal with God. I mean, that's what it means when you say that he's the only begotten Son of God. You're saying that he is the one equal with the Father. And that's the whole reason the great controversy started to begin with. It was the warfare over his begotten sonship.
Yeah. So you have never become a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, is that right? I mean, in the corporate church, yes.
Yeah, in the corporate sense, yes. Okay. I have never become one.
But as far as the doctrines are concerned, you stay close to the doctrines of the original Seventh-day Adventist Church during the past 50 years, if you will, as that statement goes around once in a while.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. You're there with the purpose of witnessing. Now, I'm hoping and praying you're finding an opportunity to do that as often as you can. Now, I know that in California, for example, you don't have a lot of churches that are open, even available to worship. Is that the way it is over there in New York as well, or they still have congregations that meet?
I mean, from what I understand, it's not as bad as California at all. Several churches are starting to reopen, including the one that my family's attending.
Okay, good. Well, may the Lord bless you in your desire to reach out and to share, hopefully with your family, but also, as it says, in Jerusalem and in Judah and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the world, right? That's definitely our hope.
So. Oh, and Pastor Mesa, one more thing. So
sure.
I have written a small book on the first angel's message, which actually Rick shares on his website. I can share that to you.
Yes, of course. And in fact, if you would do that, then we would put it in the link description and people would be able to perhaps print it out or request a copy. How does that work?
When you can download and have it as a PDF on your phone, you could print it out. I never made the book with an intent to sell it, so I want people to have it for free.
Okay, good. Well, wonderful. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for your time. And did you have anything more you wanted to say to anybody who would be listening, or have you said enough and you want to just wish them God bless you?
Well, first off, I just want to say thank you a lot for having me. Praise God for that. And I just wanted to mention one thing that we had talked about before. I completely agree with you that Revelation, like the book of Revelation, was a wonderful catalyst for my studies on who God and his Son are.
Yeah.
And I would heavily advise anyone who's on the fence to read that book, especially start from the end. When Christ says anyone who adds or subtracts from this book will receive the plagues, and then read the book in terms of worship and who Christ is in Revelation 3, and realize that only two beings are worshiped. Like Pastor Missa said, there are only two beings on the throne, and ask yourself honestly, how can you reconcile that with the Trinity doctrine?
Yeah, amen. That's really good counsel. The book of Revelation is one that I love, and I've done a lot of studies and notes and stuff online, and anybody could get that as well. So yeah, thank you very much for being here, and God bless you. I understand you're looking to get a job real soon, and may the Lord bless you in your leading and him leading you, of course, and keep us up to date, and may the Lord bless your life and your family and everybody that you interact with.
Thank you a lot, Daniel. May God bless you. I know that your ministry has been used to reach many people, and so I pray that God will continue to use you for his glory.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, and God bless you.